I'm taking the title for the message today from the words found in verse 28. Acts 20, 28. The title of the message is "The Church Bought with His Own Blood." The church. Talking about God's sheep, His elect, His covenant children. The church there is those who have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. The church of God, which He bought, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, bought us. He bought us. We're His. And He paid a great, great price. His own blood. He gave His life to redeem us. To redeem us. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul writes his letter to the church at Ephesus, he said Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might present it to the Father, holy and unblameable in His sight. We would know nothing of the great price of our redemption had the Lord not told us about His redeeming work in the Word of God, how He obtained for us eternal redemption, and He did it with His own blood, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, not with silver and gold, not with tradition and ceremony. We are redeemed with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember from our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, where he says, "You are bought with a price." Oh, what a price. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. You see, He bought us. He chose us. He bought us. And He called us. When Peter talks about God's people, he said, "You're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're a purchased people. Therefore, we should show forth the praises unto Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous, marvelous light." Now, in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, down through verse 28, Paul is preaching his last message to those elders at Ephesus, and he says to them that they will never see his face again. This is his last message. Now, I thought about that to me personally. If I knew this was my last message, that I would never see your face again, what would my message be? It would be exactly the same as the Apostle Paul telling how the Lord Jesus Christ bought us with His own blood, how He chose us, loved us, and bought us with His own blood. Paul was determined to finish the race he'd begun, to finish the course with joy, as it says right there, in verse 24, he said, "I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me. The Holy Ghost has let it be known that bonds and afflictions wait for me." Verse 24, "But none of these things move me." Paul wasn't afraid of trouble and affliction. "Neither do I count my life dear." He spent his life preaching the gospel so that I might finish my race, finish my course, and do it with joy. Do it with joy, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul was fully committed, totally sold out to preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Now, where did he get this ministry? He said, "The ministry which I've received of the Lord." Where did he get this ministry? We know who Paul the Apostle was before he was converted. He was Saul of Tarsus. But God saved him by His marvelous grace and put him in the ministry, gave him this message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you'll turn with me, if you can read with me if you want to, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Where did he receive this ministry? He said, "The ministry which I have received." Where did he receive it? From who did he receive it? Not from the Pharisees, but from the Lord himself. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. So this is what he received of the Lord. Now turn just a few pages over, 2 Corinthians, and then find the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. He says in verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man, for I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it by a man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you heard about my conduct, my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. I wasted it. You remember Saul of Tarsus? He hated the gospel till he met the Lord. And he profited in the Jews' religion above many his equals in my own nation, being exceeding zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So where did Paul receive this ministry? Not from man. It was a ministry God gave him that he received of the Lord. And the message he received of the Lord Jesus Christ was to testify. You see verse 24, the last part? To testify or to preach the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do we mean when we say that we preach the gospel of the grace of God? The gospel of the grace of God. What do we mean when we say that salvation is all of grace and grace alone? We declare that all of our salvation, that is, the salvation of a sinner, is owing to the free and sovereign grace of God alone, given to us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what we mean when we say that God saved sinners by his grace, not by any deeds of the law, not by any work to the flesh. By the grace of God, I am what I am. We mean when we say that salvation is all of grace, we mean the same as what Peter said in Acts 15, verse 11. We believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. We mean that the whole of the work of our salvation, from first to last, from God's electing love in eternity, election in eternity past, to our future glorification in eternity future, is all of the grace of God alone. All of God, all of grace, the free and sovereign grace of God alone. Therefore, we rightly conclude that man has no part in the accomplishment of salvation in any aspect. All of God, all of grace. Let's see if we can read that in the Word of God. Romans chapter 9. We could read many places, but let's read Romans chapter 9. Verse 11 says, for the children being not yet born, Jacob and Esau, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Romans 9:12, it was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger, as is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. So we see from the reading of Scripture that salvation is all of God's grace. One preacher of the past said this, we're saved by grace, free grace, rich grace, sovereign grace, distinguishing grace, without one atom of works, without one grain of creature merit, without anything of the flesh. We make no contribution. Sweet grace, blessed grace. Oh, what help, what strength, what a rest for poor, sinful, guilty creatures to find that the grace of God has done all the work, to know that grace has triumphed at the cross, to find that there's nothing required, nothing needed, nothing is to be done, for the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished. That's the grace of God. That's what Paul is saying there. We testify, we've received this ministry of the Lord. This is his message. To testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Sovereign grace is the only grace that's revealed in the Word of God. Now, we can look at several things in this one aspect of grace. Election is all of grace. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 11, 5 and 6. Justification. Our justification before God is a justification that's all of the grace of God. Now, I quote this scripture every time I bring a message. Romans 3, 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our election is all of grace. Our justification is all of grace. The effectual calling of God is all of grace. Remember what we read in Galatians chapter 1? Would it please God to reveal his Son unto me by his grace? He called me by his grace. And then when Paul writes from prison to young Timothy, he reminds him that it's God who saved us and called us, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So our elections of grace is all of grace. Our justification is all of grace. Our effectual call is all of grace. Believing the gospel is, how do we believe the gospel? By the grace of God. For faith, it is a faith that it might be by grace that the promise might be sure to all the seed. We had that on the radio this morning. Regeneration is by the grace of God. Regeneration is by the grace of God alone. It's not of works. Not of works, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the regenerating work and the grace of God given to us in Christ Jesus. And our hope of salvation, what is our hope of salvation? Our hope of salvation is Christ. Christ alone. Our hope of salvation, in him we have an everlasting consolation, a good hope through the grace of God. You got that point? Salvation. Paul said, I received this of the Lord. This is not something, some invention of men or of a religious body. We received this of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace of God. That's our message, the grace of God. All aspects of saving grace and sovereign mercy come from the God of all grace. He's called the God of all grace. Salvation is always determined, dependent, accomplished, appointed, and applied by the sovereign grace of God alone. Preacher, you harping on that? Yeah? It needs to be harped on. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Now look at Acts chapter 20, verse 25. And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, you see that? The kingdom of God shall see my face no more. So Paul not only testified to the gospel of the grace of God, but he also went preaching the kingdom of God. You see that? The kingdom of God. Paul was a preacher of the kingdom of God, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you remember how we started? Turn back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the, what is that? The kingdom of God. So our Lord Jesus Christ came preaching the kingdom of God. Peter set forth the kingdom and lordship of Christ there at Pentecost. Turn to Acts chapter 8. You remember Philip, the chosen deacon who went preaching in Samaria? In Acts chapter 8, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Look down to verse 12, Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So we go preaching the grace of God and we go preaching the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul did this. Let's find Acts chapter 19, verse 8. Acts 19, verse 8. You remember he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the thing concerning the kingdom of God. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 28, when the Apostle Paul speaks his last words from prison before his head is removed from his body for preaching the gospel. He said this in Acts 28, verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. So Paul was always about preaching the grace of God, setting forth the kingdom of God. Now, I tried to tell you what it means when we say that salvation is by the grace of God. What does it mean when we say that we preach concerning the kingdom of God? We set forth in our preaching the King in his spiritual kingdom, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is none other than God, our Savior. Now, if you have a kingdom and we're told to preach the kingdom of God, what do you talk about? You talk about the King. You talk about who the King is. In this spiritual kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ is King. He's none other than God, our Savior. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God. God manifested in the flesh. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. What a mystery. What a great truth. We set forth him as the King. We set forth his absolute sovereign lordship over all things. What did Peter preach at Pentecost? This same Jesus whom you crucified, he's both Lord and Christ. He's not Lord by, and he's not King by a democratic process. We didn't vote, no one voted. It's not the devil voted and God voted and we cast a deciding vote. That's not what he's talking about when he's talking about the lordship of Christ. He's King by God's decree. God appointed him as the King of kings and Lord of lords. And as such, he is King and Lord in creation, created all things by the word of his power. He is Lord and King by providence. What do we mean by providence? The things that come to pass in time do so because God from the beginning had decreed and ordained all things. Known unto God are all of his work from the beginning. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory both now and forever. So he is Lord. We preach his lordship. Lord in creation, Lord in providence. What's that third one we always say? He's Lord in salvation, isn't he? We read it just a moment ago. He'll have mercy on whom he will. He will harden whom he will. So he's Lord in salvation. The Lord prayed in John 17, Father, you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to me. Back to Acts chapter 20, look at verse 26. Wherefore, that being so, I testified of the gospel of the grace of God. I went preaching the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, his lordship, Wherefore, I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. He said, you can't charge me with not telling you the truth. He said, I kept back nothing profitable unto you. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What is all the counsel of God? All the counsel of God in saving sinners is Jesus Christ crucified. That's all the counsel of God. That's why Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God is Christ. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Do you remember? You have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. So I've not shunned to declare unto you. It doesn't say the whole counsel of God. No man knows the whole counsel of God. But in the matter of how God saves sinners, all the counsel of God is Christ crucified. That's God's purpose and grace in Christ. Therefore, verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Pay attention to all the flock, believers, over which the Holy Spirit had made you to be the overseer, the pastor of the church, to feed them, to feed the church, to feed the church of God. It's the church of God which He purchased. He purchased with His own blood. Now, Paul gives his last words of instruction unto these dear, dear believers, these elders from Ephesus. But it's also relative and important to us right now. We need to take heed to the ministry that God has given to us. You remember what we studied in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, seeing that we have this ministry. Every believer is in the ministry. We all serve God's purpose by serving the Lord's people. Seeing that God the Holy Spirit has given to us this ministry. Take heed, let us take special care and concern what God has entrusted to us. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine in which you preach, Paul wrote to Timothy, for in doing so, you'll save yourself and those to whom you preach. So take heed, brethren. Pay attention. We have such a blessed, blessed gospel the Lord has given to us to preach. Let us make sure that we do so. Let us do so that we feed this church. What do we feed them with? The word of truth. The Word of God. We watch over the Lord's sheep and care for them by feeding them a constant diet of the Word of the Lord. You remember what Peter said, the risen Lord, when he met Peter and those other men after the Lord had risen from the dead and been with them 40 days. And Peter said to those men, we're going fishing. Some think that they quit the ministry and went back to fishing, their nets and their boats. Peter and John and the rest of them were fishermen. And the risen Lord came to Peter and those men fishing. And he said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord. Well, what are you doing out here fishing? Feed my sheep. And then the Lord asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my lambs. And then he said the third time, Peter, do you really love me? And he was grieved by this time, Peter was, because the Lord had asked him three times. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know what he said? Feed my sheep. So we feed the sheep the word of truth, the word of God. The word of truth. Sheep like sheep food. Goats, they tell me. I've never raised any goats, but I've been around some sheep, and sheep like grass. Sheep like sheep food. They tell me goats will eat anything. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. We feed God's sheep the word of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's the bread of life. The Lord Jesus Christ, His word is the sincere milk of the word. We have milk and bread, Christ and Him crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's our drink, bread and water and milk. Christ is the living water. Our Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, everyone that is thirsty, He said, come unto me. So we feed the church of God. It's the church that's of God. It's not of man. It's the church, the called out, the elect of God. It's saying that salvation is of the Lord. The church is of God. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And it's the church that He purchased with His own blood. With His own blood. The Lord's church, His elect, were bought with a very high, special, precious. The Lord calls His blood precious. He redeemed us with His precious blood. We learn from this verse, and I'll give you this in closing. We learn three important facts about the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, found in the last part of verse 28. Three important things, facts that we know about the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave Himself for us. First of all, we see who the Lord Jesus Christ died for. Feed the church of God which He purchased. Doesn't say that He died for all the sins of all men everywhere. That's not so. The Lord Jesus Christ bought His church, His bride, the elect. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ died for His elect, the church of God, those that He chose in eternity and called by His grace. His people, call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. The Lord laid down His life for the sheep. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. We preach a definite, particular redemption that's effectual. The Lord calling out His elect because He died for them that He chose in eternity. Secondly, we see who died for us. Who died for us? Well, Jesus of Nazareth, right? But who is this man? It says here that the church of God, which He purchased. You see, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just the blood of a man. It is the blood of a man who is a God-man mediator. He's both God and man in one person. God bought the church with His own blood. The Lord Jesus Christ is truly man, or He could not die, but He's also fully God, or He could not satisfy. He's a God-man mediator. He's God, our Savior. If Christ had not been fully man, He could not have any blood to shed. Had He not been God, the blood He shed could not have been sufficient price for our redemption. You see what I'm saying there? It's just not that someone died. What gives the power and weight to His blood is that He is God. He's the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. And He did so effectually, so much so that He obtained for us. He did it all. He obtained for us eternal redemption. And the third thing we see, what He accomplished. He bought us. He bought us. We're His property. We're no more our own. We're bought with the price of His blood. He redeemed us, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own blood. He bought us. Lock, stock, and barrel. And the Lord's going to have what He bought. You ladies don't go to Walmart and buy your groceries and just leave them there, do you? You buy them, pay for them, and what do? Take them home, and you eat them. You enjoy them. That's exactly what the Lord did with his church. He chose us, he bought us, and he's going to take us home to glory and enjoy us forever. Deliver them from going down to the pit. The Lord said, I found a ransom. Since the Lord paid our debt in full, double for all our sin, we're set free, we're set at liberty to serve our blessed Savior. You remember from our study in the book of Luke, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4, verse 18. He's going to set us free because he's paid our sin debt. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the blood of himself. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. God help us to honor, worship him who paid such a great price to redeem us. You think what he paid? To redeem such? Someone said, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the unpeople. Huh? He died for the ungodly. He died for those who were unjust. He died for those who were unworthy. He died for those who were unlovely. You see what I'm saying? When we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's all of us by nature, unworthy, ungodly, unjust. He suffered once the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Are you part of that ungodly bunch? I am. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I'm the chief one. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. They sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Amen. God help us to worship the true and living God.